well. I know. Whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. That's a big statement. That is a huge statement. To say whatever befalls me, whatever comes across my path, whatever circumstance I find myself in, be it my own fault, or be it a trying of my faith, be it the adversary, be it opposition, it's a big statement. Whatever befalls me, Jesus is still going to make sure that it's for my good. He doeth all things well. Isaiah chapter 40, just a few minutes tonight. I won't keep you long. Like we've said before, I like to take Sunday nights and kind of wind down the week and kind of just give you something practical, something to think about. Hope and pray that the Lord would bless us tonight. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. The Bible says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding." Why are you saying that, Jacob? Why are you declaring or believing that for some way God has lost control, or God is not in control, or for some reason your life isn't exactly what you had thought it to be, that God has passed over you, and for some reason God has forsaken you, God has left you, God has deserted you? Why do you say that? There is no searching of His understanding. "He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young shall utterly fail or fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You know, beloved, it's not uncommon, and I think we've all been saved long enough to realize that, but it's not uncommon that as believers we can often grow weary and discouraged on this holy pilgrimage towards the celestial city, John Bunyan described it. Because we have many adversaries and our obstacles are not a few, and it's not uncommon that we can grow very weary. Weary because of our own weaknesses and infirmities. Weary because of the great opposition that we often face from our adversary. Weary of the fiery trials that God sends our way. Weary of disappointments in ourselves and others. Beloved, if anybody can grow weary and discouraged, it's a believer who's trying to stay on the straight and narrow way. It's a very difficult way to go for the flesh. We are in great need of divine mercy and grace if we, like Paul, are going to be able to say, "I want to fight the good fight, I want to finish my course, and I want to keep the faith." We can't do that on our own. I've been saved approximately 28 years, and I think I've been in more valleys of weariness and discouragement and disappointment than I've been on the mountains of victory and triumph. And a lot of that is due to my own disbelief, my own weaknesses and infirmities, yet God was true and faithful through all those times. But we can grow very weary and disappointed, discouraged. And I thank God that He knows that we can. I thank God that He knows our hearts better than ourselves. I thank God that He knows what we're made of. I thank God that He knows each and every one of us here this evening. He knows just exactly how much we can take. And He knows there's no temptation taken us such as common to man, but God shall, what? God shall give us an escape, help us to bear it, make a way to escape it. God is faithful. And yet, beloved, I hope and pray that we've also learned, even though we know it's not uncommon that believers often get weary and troubled and discouraged and disappointed, I hope and pray that those times have taught us to turn our hearts and our face to the sacred pages of God's most holy Word, because that's the only place we can find encouragement, comfort, and strength. And if we've learned anything from those valleys of disappointments and discouragements and weariness,
It's that we've got to learn to constantly turn to the pages of God's Word if we're ever going to find the strength that we need. I don't know about you, but I've also tried it without God's Word. Often. Trying to figure my situation out. Trying to sit down and assess what's going on around me and trying to find some kind of light in the darkness. And I find myself merely getting more discouraged and disappointed rather than anything else. But when I turn to the Word of God, I find that God enlightens my understanding and God begins to work in my heart. And because, beloved, there's nothing in this present life which can strengthen, comfort, and encourage the believer more than the promises found in God's Word. And like I said, that's a very huge statement, what we said in the hymn, "For I know whatever Jesus doeth, He doeth all things well." Whatever happens to me, whatever goes on in my life, God does everything well. How can I be assured of that? How can I share the consolation of that promise? And beloved, isn't that the goal? Isn't that what we all desire? Is we don't want to merely, and I'm not saying memorizing God's Word isn't important, it's very important, but in memorizing that, our prayer should be, "Lord, help me to know the consolation of Your promises. Help me to know the power of those promises that says, 'The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.' Help me to know the consolation of, 'Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.' Help me to know the consolation of those promises." And beloved, sometimes it's only in them valleys of despair and discouragement and disappointment and great weakness and faint-heartedness that those promises are made to quicken us. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have the consolation of God's promises when I'm on the mountain. But I find many times that God's Word has made a greater impact upon my life in the valley of disappointment and discouragement than on the mountain. Because then I needed them the most. And God's Word, in the midst of those troubles, quickened me and helped me. The psalmist said, "This is my comfort in my affliction. This is my comfort in my affliction, for Thy Word hath quickened me." He said, "That's the comfort in my affliction." He didn't say about getting out of affliction. He said, "In my affliction, here's my comfort." In fact, there's not even an expression of desiring deliverance. He says, "I have found comfort in my afflictions." Not as though he's wishing to remain there, but he's saying that in my afflictions, "I have found great comfort, for Thy Word has quickened me in my afflictions. And gave me great comfort." I remember one night years back when I found out, I won't make it a long story, but I found out that I had this certain illness that was killing me, and it was acute. It wasn't minor, it was acute. And I remember the nights I spent up, and I did. I remember the nights weeping and praying and asking God. I didn't want my children, my wife, to see that because I wanted to be encouragement. I thought, "Lord, why is this happening? Why would all this happen? And what's the reason and purpose for it?" And I wasn't shaking my fist up at God, but like many of us, if not most of us, have done, we've often questioned God and His providence. "God, why is this happening? I didn't seek for this. This isn't right. This isn't just." But you struggle with disbelief and faith, and you want the comfort of God's Word. And in the midst of that, God gave me great comfort in His Word. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient." And to know the consolation of that promise, "Beloved, my cup runneth over." And I was able to bear that which for a few hours earlier was breaking me, was consuming me. God's grace is sufficient. Nothing quickens, nothing revives, nothing enlivens the believer's hope, comfort, and faith more than the quickening power of God's Word, as seen in our text. Just for a few minutes, look at verse 27. Our Lord asked Jacob here a question. Actually, a few. He said, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, 'My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God'?" Out of this sorrowful and painful complaint in verse 27 arises one of the most blessed and comforting promises found in the entire Word of God. We wouldn't have had verse 31 if we didn't have verse 27. And beloved, isn't that like the Christian life? Sometimes God's Word first quickens us when we're in verse 27 and we're in this, in the spirit of discouragement and weariness, and we're saying, God, why? And then God brings us an answer that we would have never heard if God hadn't allowed us to go through that valley. So a lot of times, beloved, them crosses are very profitable for the believer. We often learn of God's all-sufficient grace in the midst of our greatest weaknesses and sorrows. Why are you saying that, Jacob? Why are you speaking, O Israel? Why are you saying that your way is hid from the Lord, that the Lord don't understand what's going on, that the Lord has overlooked you, that the Lord is not treating you right or just? Why are you saying that my judgment is passed over from you? Why are you saying that? Look at verse 28. He answers himself. He said, hast thou not known? I like that because Jacob gives God a question and God answers him with a question. Lord, that's the wonders and glories of Christianity, like we learned a couple weeks ago when we quoted from Lloyd-Jones when he made that statement that God doesn't treat us like children, but He gives us instruction, He gives us enlightenment, He gives us His Word, and we are to work those things out. That's a mature Christian. In Hosea, when God's dealing with the sinning Israelites, He says, consider your ways. Examine yourself. Take a look at what's going on. And here we have the same thing. And that's what God does to us. Hast thou not known? Stop for a minute and think. Am I really that way? Do you really think that your way is hid from me? Do you really think that my judgment is passed over you? Do you really think that I am that kind of a God? Have you learned so of me? I love how God deals with us. I love how God deals with us. I mean, over the years, and all of us has been saved here tonight, I can say with assurance, been saved for many years. How often has God done that as we grew older in the Lord? He didn't give us a quick answer to our problems or our questions of discouragement and doubt, but He would make us work it out. It was almost as though He was asking us, do you really believe that of me? Have you really learned me like that? Am I really the way you're thinking I am at the moment? Have you not learned better? Lord, we believe now. Believest thou really, the Lord said, John 16. Do you really believe? And oftentimes God does that. And why does He do that? Well, He does that because in the same biblical principle, Philippians, work therefore out their salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God that is working in you, both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Well, work it out. He asked us those questions so that we might search our heart. Search what we know about God. Remember this morning we said the works of Christ should exalt His person, and in His person we should take greater comfort than in His work. Though His work is a benefit or profitable for us, but it's in His person. When I get to know somebody, I'm going to trust them a lot more. And so God oftentimes asks us those same questions. He wants us to search our heart. What have you learned of me? Take a moment. Settle down. Be still. And know that I am God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He's talking, and we need to understand that He's talking about Israel or Jacob. He's talking about them, why they were in captivity. And they're in captivity because God sent them there. Listen to this. But God is actually telling them the question, though you're in captivity, and it's because of your own mistakes and your own weaknesses and sins, and it's divinely ordained by me. Remember a few weeks ago we read that where God says, if you'll go into captivity, I'll bless you, but if you stay here, you're cursed. But He's telling Israel now, He says, I know you're in captivity. And I know you're there, and you know you're there for your own sins. And you know that I providentially put you there. And you're looking at it as being something very devastating. But it doesn't matter what your circumstances look like, never forget that I do not change. And even though you're being chastened by my hand, I still love you. I never change. I never weary. I never faint. My ways are beyond your understanding. But I never change in my character. my love for you, my care for you, will always be the same. Even though the lot you're bearing is a lot that I put upon you myself. Have you not heard? Have you learned of me that way? Isaiah says it best in Isaiah 50:10. He said, who is among you? Listen, it's a paradox. Isaiah 50:10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Beloved, that's spiritual maturity. That's someone that's going, I'm fearing the Lord. I'm obeying the voice of His servant. I'm trying to be obedient and faithful, yet I'm walking in darkness and I have no light. The Lord said, that doesn't matter. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon me. That's a huge statement. And yet, beloved, that's what God seeks to work in every one of His children. That whatever Jesus doeth, He doeth it well. That we might learn to trust in God when we walk in darkness. I like how He said, they're in darkness, but they're still walking. They haven't stopped. They continue serving. They continue on the way, yet it's darkness and there's no light. He says, you need to trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God. Hast thou not known? Examine yourself. What have you learned about me? Have I not taught you better? Did I not lead you through the spiritual wilderness? Did I not bring flesh upon those dry bones at salvation? Did I not give you the joy of the Lord in saving your soul? Did I not lead and guide and direct you through so many valleys and over so many mountains already? Have you not eaten from the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, enough to know that I can provide for you? Have you really learned so less about me to think that your way is hid from me and that my judgment has passed over you? Do you not know me better than that? Yeah, but Lord, we're in captivity because you put us here. Yes, but that doesn't change my love for you. You're still the apple of my eye. And you always will be. And because of Jesus Christ, beloved, that apple of the eye has been even made more precious. You know the old hymn? When darkness veils His loving face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Oh, beloved, we should all long and yearn for such a Christian walk with God. And God uses so many things to mature us in this area. I mean everything. Romans 8, brother said it this morning in Sunday school. God works all things together, the bad and also the good. He mixes them together like a pharmacist does medicine. Alone, it's poisonous, but mixed right with the right ingredients, it can heal us. And so God uses everything, everything in our life. Everything to work in us this kind of confidence and faith in God that we can say, though I walk in darkness and have no light, I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord and I'm going to stay upon my God. Though God should lead us through dark providences, be it because of our own sins and weaknesses or fiery trials for our faith, God's faithfulness and loving kindness does not change or waver, but remains the same in every circumstance. Abide with me. Thou that changest not, abide with me. Hast thou not known? What a heart-searching question. He doesn't immediately, and this is how He deals with mature Christians, He doesn't immediately bring aid or assistance. He'll deal with us as adults. Hast thou not known? Think about me for a minute. You often wonder why, as you grew older in the Lord, it was harder sometimes to get an answer from God for things. It took longer. It was almost like a delay, and you thought, boy, it was a lot easier when I was younger. Things just seemed to kind of fall in my lap. But as I grow older, God says, no, I'm going to deal with you in maturity now. I want you to work out that salvation with fear and trembling. I want you to think about it. I want you to use those graces that I've given you. Act your age. Isn't that the way I tell our children all the time? Act your age. Quit running around like an immature child, you know, spouting your mouth off like a chicken with its head cut off. Act your age. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're thinking. The psalmist said it best. I'll read it because of the length of it, but you can write it down, Psalm 77:6-13, or you can turn there while I'm reading it. But this is how he says it. Listen to this. He says, I called to remembrance my song in the night. Psalm 77:6-13. Listen to this. Hast thou not known? He's asking the question. Search your heart. Here's how we do it. The Bible even gives us the blueprints. He says, I call to remembrance my song in the night, in my night of afflictions. I remember the songs God gave me. I commune with my own heart. My spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity. You see there? He comes to his senses. It's like the prodigal son. What happened to him? He came to his senses. But you know what's good about the prodigal son? The prodigal son never came to his father and says, I'm no more your son. He says, I'm no more worthy to be your son. He never took his sonship away. He said, I'm still your son. But I just don't feel worthy to be your son. You know what happens to us? When we fail God, I never get to the point to where I say, God's going to take my sonship away. But I always feel unworthy to be His son. That's the lesson we learned from the prodigal son. He doesn't come and say, I want you to disown me. He says, I'm unworthy to be the person I am. Because I am your son, yet I'm unworthy. And I said, this is my infirmity. All these questions are foolishness. This is my infirmity. God hasn't forgotten these things. That's not the God I know. I haven't learned that kind of a God. My God is not like that. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. And then down to 13, who is so great a God as our God? You see how he ended up with this? He consults with himself. He wrestles with himself. Is God unfavorable? Has God forgot to be merciful? Has God forgot to be... That's my infirmities. That's foolishness. That's not my God. But I remember the good things of God. I remember the works of the Lord. I remember the wonders of old. I'll meditate also of all Thy works and talk of all Thy doings. And by the time he started to do that, he goes, oh, who is so great a God as our God? Beloved, he brought him by God's promises and by faith. He brought himself out of the miry clay. And God set him up on a rock. And he said, no, God, that's my infirmities. You're not like that. I must go quickly back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. You know what? I found, and I didn't learn this quickly, but I found that God takes great delight in giving power to the faint. Listen to me. Sometimes He likes us to get fatigued and exhausted so that He might give us power. He says, I give power. He says, He giveth power to the faint. And God delights in strengthening the weak. But I want us to know that when he's talking about somebody that's faint and weak, he's not talking about somebody that's simply faint and weak because they're sitting on the side. It's somebody that's serving God. It's that servant who's obeying the Lord and listening to the servant of God and walking in darkness. He's talking about those who grow faint in the work of Christ. He's talking about those who grow weak in their own ability and strength. I know that you grow faint in the service of Christ. And I know that you feel the weakness of your inability and the weakness of your strength. Yet I will give you power and I give you strength. That's what he's talking about. Lord, all the promises of God are not given to the slothful, but to the diligent. The slothful is always wanting and never getting anything. The diligent, they grow faint. The diligent, they grow weak. And God says, when you go faint in the cause of Christ, I'll give you strength or power. When you grow weak in your own abilities and in your own strength, I will give you the strength that you need. Paul said it best when he said, my strength is made perfect. God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you're weak, then you really have a full understanding of my strength. And when you are weak, then you are strong. He almost reverses the roles, huh? My strength made perfect in your weakness. And when you are weak, then you're strong. Sounds like Isaiah 40, doesn't it? God delights in giving us power when we're faint. He delights in giving us strength when we have none. Yet in closing, look at the contrast in the last two verses. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I like how he uses young men. He says, oh, those young men that appear to be very zealous and for the Lord, they're going to faint and they're going to fall because they're trusting in the power of their own ability and their own understanding, and they'll fall and they'll be faint. Here's wisdom. But they that wait. What's he talking about? Well, in verse 30, he's talking about not just youth and age, but youth spiritually as well. Remember when you were young in the Lord, you thought you could charge hell with a water pistol and defeat Satan in one stance. We look back at ourselves when you're younger and we kind of think, boy, we did some foolish things. Sometimes it's not bad. I like what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, it'd be good if we all stayed young, because when we was young in the Lord, we tried things that we won't do now because we're more wiser. But as a young believer, sometimes we risk things that we wouldn't do now. So there is some wisdom in that. But we've all noticed that in young believers. Well, they start out good, don't they? Running 100 miles an hour. Then they run into trouble and they quickly burn out. They quickly faint. Why? They're trusting in their youth. But as we grow old in the Lord, we learn to wait. We learn to wait on God. Why? Because we know that we grow faint and we grow weak without God's grace. And so we learn to wait on God. Listen to this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Notice he doesn't say new strength, renew your strength. He's renewing something you have already. Wait on God. I won't go into the depths of that, but you know one of the hardest things for a Christian to do is wait on God. Very hard to do. And yet when we do, he says, I'll renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Hast thou not known this about me, Israel, Jacob? Do you really think your way has been hid from me, that my judgment has passed over you? Don't you not? Have you really learned of me that way? You know I'm not that way. You know what I like about eagles? They say eagles don't flock together. He's basically talking about leaders here, but eagles don't flock together. They don't conform to those of their own kind. Do you ever notice that? Eagles do not conform to their own kind. They don't flock together. You cannot find them in large groups. Look for an eagle, he'll be alone. They're flying alone. They're also flying ahead and higher than any other bird. In other words, he's saying, you'll be a maverick. You'll be different. Amen? You'll fly with the eagles. And you won't, what, cackle with the chickens or whatever they say? That's what he's talking about. When we learn to wait on the Lord, and while we're waiting on the Lord, we learn to remember what God has done for us, like he's trying to exhort Israel here to do. Hast thou not known? Think about it. Am I really that way? I'm not that way. You know I'm this way. You wait on me, I'll renew your strength. And you'll have all this strength to be able to fly like eagles with wings, and you'll run and not be weary, and you'll walk and not faint. He's talking about service. He's talking about the Christian life. That's what's going to happen if you learn to wait on God. Is that merely a one-time thing? No, that's something that we have to practice constantly. Beloved, it's not uncommon for God's people to grow weary. I've grown weary recently. You've grown weary. I've grown troubled. You've grown troubled. It's not uncommon for God's people. We're on a very strange path. It's one opposite to this world, and we got a lot of adversaries and a lot of foes and a lot of oppositions. It's not uncommon for us to grow weary, and sometimes it's God's divine providence and will that we grow weary, that we might learn more about waiting on Him and having our strength renewed. He delights in giving the faint power and strengthening the weak. And sometimes God providentially lets us get to those places so that we might reflect back on the promises of God, so that we might, like the psalmist, begin to remember these things. And as we remember these things and we're maturing in grace and in faith, that's what glorifies God. Amen. May God give us grace and mercy to pay heed to Isaiah 40. Amen. And trust in Him. For I know whatever He doeth, Jesus doeth all things well. Amen. Won't be long. The day is quickly approaching when the Lord shall return. If He don't return, we're all aging pretty fast. Some of us quicker than others, but we're all aging pretty fast. Beloved, the day is soon will be here when we shall see the Lord as He is. May we not be ashamed at His coming. May we, like Paul, say, I fought the fight. I finished my course. And I've kept the faith. God, give us grace. Amen. Let's pray.